EASA certifies the SMA Aerodiesel. The CTLS Amphibian is now officially on sale. And the G650 shows off coast to coast. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, February 10th, 2011. SNECMA reports that EASA has certified the SMA SR305-230E diesel for general aviation. The engine logged 2,500 hours of ground and flight testing in the certification program. Entry into service is scheduled for early 2012. Based on the results of the certification tests, SMA guarantees a TBO of 2,000 hours. The 230-horsepower engine was developed by SMA, a wholly owned subsidiary of SNECMA, for single or twin-engine light aircraft. The 305 burns Jet A fuel and claims fuel savings of 50% over gasoline engines, a reduction in CO2, and obviously the complete elimination of lead emissions. Flight Design reports the FAA has signed off on the neat amphibian LSA it displayed much of last year, including at Lakeland and Oshkosh. The CTLS float plane is now officially on the market in the U.S. Flight Design USA distributor Airtime Aviation of Tulsa, Oklahoma, in cooperation with the manufacturer and Claymar Floats of Ontario, Canada, completed over 150 hours of flight testing in preparation for final approval. Airtime partner Tom Gutman says the certification process involved no changes to the basic CTLS airframe. Quote, "To certify the CTLS, we had to replace the propeller with a slightly different model, but no structural changes were required. We added a gear position indicator and the water rudder handle, along with a split brake handle to allow for castering steering on the ground," unquote. The basic CTLS optioned with only the floats starts at about $162,000. 10 qualified crew members at Gulfstream got a nice perk last month. They flew in the new G650 on a flight of more than 1,900 nautical miles in just 3 hours and 26 minutes January 12th. The plane departed Bob Hope Airport in Burbank, California at 12:21 Pacific Time and landed on the East Coast at Savannah Hilton Head International Airport. The plane climbed at Mach 0.85 to 43,000 feet, then made the rest of the trip at speeds between 0.91 and 0.92 with a brief sprint at its max of Mach 0.925. Certification is expected later this year, with entry into service in 2012. A Predator UAV, which may have been involved in spying over Yemen, has gone down, according to police officials there. Reports from AFP News indicate that Al-Qaeda forces have been able to make off with the wreckage of the downed drone. Al-Qaeda is known to have a large presence in the region. Up next on ANN, EAA releases details on its electric flight competition. The radial rocket now comes in an RG tricycle. And runway status lights come to Europe. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through control. Cirrus has completely reinvented the personal aircraft and the entire experience of owning a personal aircraft. It's a bold new take on private aviation that we call Cirrus Flying 2.0. You set the schedule. You chart the course. You're in control.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back for more of your Aero Briefing for February 10th. I'm Paul Plack. Applications are now being accepted for the $60,000 electric flight prize at EAA AirVenture 2011, intended to showcase the accomplishments and viability of flight powered exclusively by electricity. Three flight competitions held during the event, along with an electric aircraft innovation evaluation, will determine who wins. The first competition, scheduled for Tuesday, July 26th, will test electric aircraft for endurance to find out which one can be kept aloft for the longest period. Time to Climb will follow on Wednesday the 27th, and a final flat-out speed contest on Thursday the 28th. I'm guessing this will be fun to watch, but eerily quiet. Get details at airventure.org, under AirVenture News at page right. New Century Aerosport, based in Olathe, Kansas, has introduced the Radial Rocket RG, a retractable landing gear version of its fixed-gear tailwheel Radial Rocket TD. The first flight of the RG took place at Johnson County Executive Airport in Olathe in December. New Century began production of the TD version in 2005. Company President Jeffrey Ackland observes, quote, "This development opens up the Radial Rocket experience to a much wider range of pilots," unquote. The first customer-built Radial Rocket RG is in final assembly and expected to fly this spring. Both models are powered by the venerable Soviet-era Vedenyev M14 series 9-cylinder supercharged radials. Those are available in versions making 360 or 400 horsepower. The first European airport to implement a runway status light control system will be Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris. Northrop Grumman's European subsidiary, Northrop Grumman Park Air Systems, has been awarded the contract. The control system warns aircraft and ground vehicles when it's unsafe to enter or cross a runway through a series of lights embedded in the pavement. The contract is to be completed by the end of 2011. Still ahead, the LSA Leader moves up to four seats. Flying is crossed off another bucket list. And a green flight enthusiast named Smokey? You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, February 10th. I'm Paul Plack. Flight Design says it will show a proof of concept of a four-place airframe called the C4 at AirVenture this summer. The display will follow a debut in April at Aero 2011 in Friedrichshafen, where a 3D projection of the interior will be used to solicit input from prospective customers. Flight Design Chief Technical Officer Oliver Reinhardt notes, quote, "Engineers often put emphasis on certain features on a new design, while a flight school or private owner might want something we did not consider. So we are putting our concept of the C4 design out for the public to participate in the process," unquote. Perhaps customer input will suggest an alternative to the name C4. Call me glass half empty if you will, but a composite aircraft with the same name as a plastic explosive could have a marketing downside. Here's one way to promote the performance capability of unleaded piston engine fuels. Go out and set records with them. FAI has confirmed Richard Smokey Young set an official international airspeed record on September 11th last year using an unleaded sustainable general aviation fuel. The flight established a new 100-kilometer closed-course speed record for a piston engine aircraft weighing between 300 and 500 kilograms. Smokey flew from the Jacqueline Cochran Regional Airport in Thermal, California, to the Salton Sea and back at an average speed of 242.7 miles per hour, running on Swift fuel, which has been extensively covered recently by ANN. He broke the record of 233 miles per hour, set in 2004, with leaded aviation gasoline. The number 3 Western Air Racing Special is powered by an O200, prepared by Pacific Continental Engines. The record flight was sponsored by Tradition Aviation, which also hosted flight testing and provided hangar space at Cochran Regional. Smokey explained his choice of fuels, quote, "As I researched Swift fuel, I became more convinced that green fuel is the direction general aviation needs to move," unquote. There's no word yet on whether Smokey's interest in green fuels has him considering a new nickname. And finally today, Betty Trentenberg had flying in an airplane on her bucket list. The 81-year-old Arkansas resident lives in an assisted living facility, and she had never been off the ground. And so, according to a story in USA Today, KAIT-TV in Jonesboro made her dream of flight come true with assistance from Second Wind Dreams, which helps the residents of communities for older adults achieve long-held goals. Betty got to see northern Arkansas from a perspective she'd never had before. Afterward, she commented, quote, It kind of went down to my stomach when we went a certain way, but it was good, unquote. My grandma, Florence, clearly did not have flying on her bucket list. She was born the year before the Wright brothers flew at Kitty Hawk and lived to be 102. She was in her late 90s when I excitedly told her I was learning to fly. She clearly didn't share my excitement. Her comment was, "What would you want to do that for?" That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell talks with master balloonist Mark Sullivan about flying under a huge bag of hydrogen. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.